boards are over there. So we've been talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that anyone who is in Christ is what? A new creation. What does the word new there mean? Does anybody remember what the word new there means? Never before. Never seen before. Never before. So anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. What does the rest of the scripture say? Old what? Has old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New. And so we've been talking about that new and living way. And one of the things that we have found out in the Bible that we are no longer walking according to or no longer walking under is the old covenant, the law. That Paul said, does that mean the law was bad? No, the law is good. The law is holy. The law is truth. But he says we're no longer under it. We're under grace. Now, grace is not a hammock. It's not a spiritual hammock. Sometimes we think that grace is this a spiritual hammock that we just, there's nothing that we have to do and that we can just do what we want to do because we're under grace and that God's forgiveness and all that. Grace is not a license to sin either. Because Paul said, because we're under grace, do we continue to sin? He said, God forbid. We don't do that. Amen? So grace is more than just a spiritual hammock. It's not just something where we're not involved. We found out that grace is literally God. Remember when we talked about that on Sunday morning? God doing something for us that we cannot do. God doing something in us that we cannot do. God doing something through us that we cannot do. Grace is always God getting involved in our life somehow, some way. Salvation, we couldn't save ourselves, could we? So God sent his son. By faith, it's through grace, by faith that we're saved. And it's a gift, not of ourselves. So God did something for us, all right? When Paul said, I pleaded with the Lord three times, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. He said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. It's God's strength. When we can't, when we're too weak, God's strength in us, all right? Tonight, before I came out, I was just flipping through some things on social media, and someone that I know had posted the whole thing that, God, you said that you would never give me anything more than I could handle. And right now, it just seems like there's no way I can handle this. It seems like you've abandoned me, you forgot me, you this and that. And why did you give this to me? And why are you not helping me? And let me just say this to you tonight. Can somebody find this scripture for me where it says God will not give you anything more than you can handle? There's no scripture. It doesn't say that. Okay? The scripture it's talking about there is it literally says this. It says that every temptation that we face is a temptation that others have faced. Okay? And then it says, and God will not allow you, if you look that up in the Greek, the word allow, it's not give. God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Then it goes on to say that even in that, God will provide. This is what God provides. God didn't give the temptation. God didn't, because the Bible says that when you're tempted, don't say that you're tempted from God, because God can tempt no man. So I was reading this thing, and he says, God, you know, it's like I just can't handle this and all this stuff. That's not biblical. But a lot of people use that. I mean, there's people that, I know that there's people that will, when someone says, man, I'm just going through so much, and the person, as a Christian, will respond, God will never give you anything more than you can handle. It's not scriptural. That's not what it says. In fact, what the Bible shows us is that when we are facing things that we can't handle, it's not that God gave us something that we can't handle. It's literally that God wants to help us in the time of our need. That it's not just us that is trying to handle the situation. God will help us in the time of our weakness to be victorious. Okay? It was just interesting. I was flipping through some things, and up popped this thing, and he said, God, you, and he's talking to the Lord, and he put it on Facebook, and I guess the Lord has Facebook. Did you all know that the Lord has Facebook? Has he liked your guys' page? Okay? So, So I was just thinking, I thought, man, I want to respond, but I don't want to respond on Facebook. I want to just minister to this young man. Because what he's going through isn't something that the Lord's put on him. And it's not that God's put something on him that he can't, that more than he can handle. That scripture's taken out of context. It doesn't even say that. It's about temptation. And so I want us to get into some things tonight about living in that new way. Kind of some things that we talked about Sunday morning. We've been talking about grace. And we closed Sunday morning talking about grace. And I gave you five things. And I don't know if anybody has their paper tonight. But to live a life of grace, we need to choose grace. Everything that we do with God, we have to choose. We surrender to Him. Amen. He never forces us to do anything. In fact, grace is a two-way thing. It's God's choice to help, and it's our choice to receive. We said we have to ask for grace. We said we have to believe for grace. We have to rely on grace in our life. And the last thing we said, we need to boast in grace. Paul talked about that. And what is grace again? Grace is God doing something for us that we're not able to do. Okay? And so I want to get into some things tonight concerning 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. It's the scripture right above verse 17, which we've been using as our main scripture. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. Verse 17 says there, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. But verse 16 says this, from now on, we regard no one according to what? The flesh. Now, how many people do we regard according to the flesh? No one. So that's none, right? None of us in here. If you're a new creation, the Bible says we're not supposed to regard you according to the flesh any longer. But I said this last Wednesday. I may have said it Sunday morning. One of the main people that we need to regard no longer according to the flesh is not always those people that are outside, but it's literally ourself. We look at ourselves so many times according to the old. According to the flesh. Let me just say this tonight, and we'll get into this a little bit. How many believe that God is powerful? How many believe that God is all-knowing? How many believe that God can heal somebody? I mean, heal somebody and set them free and miraculously heal somebody? I mean, we don't have a problem with that, do we? Okay? And what's interesting is the enemy will never even really attack those things in our thinking. The enemy will never come and say, you know, like Mary in her eyes. And Mary says, I'm believing for healing. The enemy won't come and say, God's not powerful enough to heal your eyes. He won't convince her of that. Okay? So he never attacks that. All right? What he attacks is God's powerful enough to heal your eyes, but when it comes to you, in your situation, and I'm just using it as an example, okay? I'm not saying that. But when it comes to you, then what he does is he attacks you. And he tries to convince you by accusing you that you're not qualified for God to do what God can do. So he never comes in and says, God's not powerful enough. No, what he comes in and he does is he attacks and he says, well, brother, how can you expect God to do that when... boom. And he always tries to take you back to something. And that's not who we are when we are thinking about ourselves being the new creation. And so I want us to look at something tonight concerning your flesh. All right? Let's see where we'll just start. We'll get to 26, verse 41. Matthew 26 and verse 41. This is in the garden when Jesus has taken three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, and the other disciples are a little bit farther away. He takes three a little bit farther, and then he even goes a little bit farther, and he comes back, and he finds them sleeping. And before he left them and went a little further away, he said, watch and pray with me. Watch and pray with me. And he comes back, and what are they doing? They're sleeping, okay? And in verse 40, then he came to the disciples and found them what? Sleeping. And he said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? He said, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the what? Flesh is weak. Okay? And so we see this, and we quote this scripture, we use this scripture, and it says the spirit is indeed what? Willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. Okay? Go with me over to Romans chapter 6. So the spirit is, Jesus said, is willing, but the what? The flesh is weak. Romans chapter 6, in verse 19, Paul said this. He said, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your what? Flesh. Okay, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. Go to Romans chapter 7. In verse 17. Now I'm just pulling some scriptures out and pointing something out, and then we're going to get into something here. Romans 7:17. But now, Paul said, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. In verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my, what's it say? Flesh, nothing good dwells. For the will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. Okay? Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. It says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh in spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Okay? Now, we looked at four different scriptures. Two of them talked about the weakness of the flesh, right? The spirit's willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. We saw over there in Romans chapter 7 where Paul said, I know that in me nothing good dwells. I mean, in my flesh nothing good dwells. And then we saw over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, talks about the filthiness of the flesh. Now, we stop here. Your flesh is bad. Okay? We stop right now. Or if we take these scriptures and we do not rightly divide the word here, then what we see here is that your flesh is evil, your flesh is bad, your flesh is horrible, your flesh is filthy, your flesh is dirty, that there's nothing good. There's nothing good in you. And see, this is how the enemy does it. Paul said, there's nothing good that dwells in me. Okay? But we're going to see something here in just a moment. That's not the state Paul was left in. Okay? But notice again, it's like this. What we see and the enemy uses is he says, you're not good. That's not what Paul said. Paul said, nothing good dwells in me. It's like a cup. Okay? The cup may hold something, but what it's holding isn't the cup. Okay, but what we see is there's nothing, you're not good. You're not good. Our flesh is not good. Well, Jesus said your flesh is weak. But what Jesus did not say your flesh is evil. He said your flesh is weak. The spirit's willing, but your flesh is what? Weak. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, Paul said, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. Can you see that he in every one of those scriptures, the enemy will try to make it us. In every one of those scriptures, I see that it's not us. Filthiness, if the filthiness of the flesh is me, then how can I cleanse myself from it? If I'm just filthy, if there's a part of my being that's just evil, then how can I cleanse myself from it? if it's me. Okay? But we, a lot of this is taught, and so what you hear in a lot of churches, you got to crucify the flesh every day. You got to do this. You got to what the Bible says you have to do daily is take up your cross. Deny yourself, take up your cross daily. The Bible says when it talks about crucifying your flesh, it says those who are Christ have crucified, past tense, the flesh. But see, what we've done is we've made a part of our three-part being something it is not. Okay? The flesh may be weak, but it's not evil. Your flesh, you can yield your flesh to instruments of righteousness, or you can yield your flesh to instruments of sin. We have to rightly divide this, because what a lot of Christians go around doing is they have a spirit, soul, and then they have an evil flesh. And the Bible says we're not supposed to regard anyone any longer if they're a new creation created in Christ. We're not supposed to regard anyone any longer according to the flesh. We're supposed to find our identity in Him. And the Bible says that we are created in true righteousness and in true holiness, complete in Him. They say, Pastor, well, I don't understand. What are you trying to get at? If we have the mentality that our flesh is a ball and chain to us, then we will hinder what God wants to do in our life. Okay? This is how we say the scripture. Jesus said the flesh is weak, bad, horrible, evil. That's not what He said. He said the flesh is weak. He said the Spirit's willing. But see, we read it this way. Man, the flesh is bad. The Spirit is good. Okay? And what we do is we make a part of our three-part being an enemy. Now, if our weakness of our flesh is bad, evil, then why does God promise so many times to help us in our weaknesses? If weakness disqualifies us, then why does God promise to help us? If when I'm praying, Father, I just thank You in the name of Jesus, God, I thank You for moving in my life, and I know You're powerful, I know You can do it, God, I need a miracle, I know You're powerful, I know You can do it, and the enemy comes and says, He can do it, but He can't do it for you. Because, let's take this walk of the flesh. He's the accuser of the brethren. And he tries to disqualify us. And so what he does is he tries to take our weakness and make it evil. And if our weakness is evil, then why does God say, in your weakness, my strength is made perfect? If my weakness is evil, then why does Paul say, I will boast in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can rest upon me? Does this make any sense? Are we? Brother Hay used to say this, y'all looking at me like a cow staring at a new gate. Cow just look, you open the gate and the cow just sits there like, what's that? It's a gate, go on through. Brother Hagin said, you're staring at me like a cow that stares at a new gate. Let me show you a couple things here. In Romans, real quick, in Romans, Paul said, I know that nothing good dwells in me. If we stopped there, then we'd have to go around saying that all the time. But that's not where Paul stopped. In Romans chapter 7, verse 17 and verse 18, he says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for the will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. Verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? That word body there is the same Greek word flesh in verse 18. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Now, stop for a second. If his mindset is that somebody can deliver you from it, then it's not you. Does that make sense? Okay. Who will deliver me from this body of death? If I can be delivered from something, then the something I can be delivered from cannot be me. Does that make sense? Okay. So I can't identify with what I can be delivered from. Does that make sense? Okay. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death? I thank God. That's who will deliver me. How will he deliver me? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay? Who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God. Who will do it? How will he do it? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Go with me to Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. It says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body, there's that word flesh again, the body of sin might be done what? Away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. If something can be done away with, then what can be done away with cannot be me. Come on, right? Does that make sense? Huh? So what the enemy tries to do is the enemy tries to take what Jesus will deliver me away, will deliver me from, and he tries to make it me. So when I'm sitting there praying, Father, I thank you, instead of me identifying with who I'm in Christ and the new, he wants to try to get me to identify with who I'm in the old man, who I've been delivered from. Who delivered me? God delivered me. How did he deliver me? He delivered me through Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Okay. Because what's amazing, and we have to get this thinking correct on this, is that God wants to do something so amazing in you and through you, and it includes your flesh, that only God will be able to glory over it. And if our mindset is, there's nothing good in my flesh, no. Paul said, I know there's nothing good in me, in my flesh, but who will deliver me from this? God will deliver me from this. So if he can deliver me from this, he takes this that's in me and he delivers me from it, separates me from it. Who will deliver me from this body of death? I think God will. How did he do it? Through Jesus Christ. We were crucified with him that the body of sin might be what? Done away with. Okay. John chapter 1, verse 17. Who is our example? Whose hands, whose feet are we? John 1, 17, verse 17, let's look at verse 14. And the what? Word became what? Flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Okay? The word became what? Flesh. And we because the Word became flesh, what did we get to see? His glory. We beheld. The word beheld means we seen. So the Word became what? Flesh. And when the Word became flesh, it says we beheld, we were able to see. What were they able to see? The glory, as of the only begotten of the Father. Full of what? Grace and what? Truth. What is grace? Grace is God doing something for us that we cannot do. Come on, right? What did Jesus say? Jesus said, the works that I do, it's not me that does the works. It's the Father in me that does the works. He said, I don't do anything on my own. All I do is what I see the Father doing. The Father's been working until now, so I've been working until now. Jesus was full of grace and truth. It was God doing the works through Jesus, but the Word became flesh, and because the Word became flesh, we were able to see His glory. Okay? Romans 8:3. We got 6 minutes. Already. Romans 8:3. Okay. It says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through want. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through want. The flesh. Okay. God did. Who did it? God. Whatever we're going to talk about God doing, He did it. How did He do it? By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. God condemned sin in the what? Flesh. Okay. Let me tell you why the enemy works so hard to make your flesh an enemy to what God is doing. Because if he can make your flesh an enemy to what God wants to do, then he hinders what God wants to do in you and through you. Because just like the Word became flesh and they beheld his glory, God wants to do something in you, and he does it not just in you, he does it through your flesh. What does the Bible say? Lay what on the sick and they shall what? They lay hands on the sick and they shall what? Recover. Okay? The Bible says that Jesus worked with the apostles, worked with the early disciples, that they went around preaching the gospel, laying hands on the sick, and they were recovering. Miracles were done through the laying on of hands. It says Jesus was what? Working with them. Grace. Okay? They weren't doing it. But again, what about Peter? It says that Peter, they would line people up on the street. Right? Why? Sick people on the street, why? Anybody remember why? So that when he'd walk by, that maybe even his what? Shadow of what? His spirit? Of his flesh. That his flesh would get so close that even a shadow of his flesh would hit them so they would be healed. The Bible says that God did amazing miracles through the of Paul. Does anybody remember what through the what? Through the what? Through the hands of Paul. Again, what is that? Okay. Look at this here in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. How did God do what he did through Jesus? He condemned sin. How? God did it. Not us. He did it. How? Through the flesh. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Inasmuch then as children have partaken of what? Flesh and blood. He himself likewise shared in the same. Okay? Why? That through death, that's flesh, right? That through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Okay? You know why the enemy doesn't want you to get a hold of this? That God wants to do something so amazing in your three-part being? That part of it is your flesh. You say, but Pastor, my flesh is weak. Good. Okay? Because this is not how we're going to climb this mountain. When it comes to a three-part being, I'm not going to tell you to climb this mountain. Okay, the way we're going to do this is we're going to do this in the flesh. No, the way we're going to do this is we're going to do this in the spirit. You say, well, Pastor, my flesh is weak. Good. The power of Christ can what? Rest upon you. You say, Pastor, you don't know how weak my flesh is. My spirit wants to get up and pray, but my flesh just keeps me in bed. Good. Okay? Because if you're weak, then you are qualified for the treasure of God to be in you. It says that this treasure is in earthen vessels. That's fleshly vessels. So that the excellence of the power might be of God and not of man. We have to disarm the enemy from tripping us up by getting us to focus on our flesh and making our flesh, oh, your flesh is weak. Jesus said your flesh is evil. No, Jesus didn't say your flesh is evil. Jesus said the flesh is weak, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, he said that before he had died. And he said that before they had received the Holy Spirit. Come on, right? In fact, he said, don't leave Jerusalem until you have been endued with power from on high, so that you can be witnesses of me everywhere you go. Okay? The Bible says is that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're bought with a price. So glorify God in your body, which is yours, which is his. Come on, is this making sense? So we're disarming the enemy's lie. Okay? When Jesus said your flesh is weak, he didn't say your flesh was evil. When Paul even talked about what was in the flesh, he talked about it in a way that you could be delivered from it. Right? And he said, who will deliver me from this wretched body of death? I thank God will deliver me. How will God deliver me? Through Jesus Christ. All those who are in Christ are a new what? Creation. Old things have what? Passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New. So what we got to do is we got to put off that old over here, be delivered from that old over here, walk through what Jesus has done, his blood, and live in this new and living way. Can you say amen? It's not a question. If God's powerful enough, that's not a question. Is God wise enough? That's not a question. Is God loving enough? That's not a question. What the enemy does is the enemy tries to trip you up by getting you to take your mind back over here to where somehow, some way, God can't do it in you or through you or for you. Amen. Father, we just thank you tonight for your word. And God, we thank you for this time together. And God, I thank you for your spirit. Because, Father, we have to rely upon your Holy Spirit to show us these things. Holy Spirit, we have to be connected with you when we're hearing these things and these things are rolling over on the inside of us even after we leave this place. Because you have the ability to reveal and open things to us. This is how we receive the things that God has prepared for us. We receive them from you, Holy Spirit. So continue to speak to each one. Continue to speak to each one. But Father, I thank you that even in the weakness of our flesh, God, your power will rest upon us. And that God, just like Paul said, I am what I am by your grace. That, Father God, your grace in our life is more than enough. So, Father, I thank you tonight as we leave this place, God, I thank you that your spirit lives on the inside of each and every one of us. And, God, you have designed and created us to be a vessel of this incredible treasure. This treasure, God, that needs to be released in the life of those that we come in contact with on a daily basis. Peter said it this way, such as I have, give I thee. Father, I thank you for tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. I went 3 minutes over. Have a wonderful night. Amen. Love each and every one of you. Thanks for coming out on such a cold night. Grace is a choice. Exactly.